Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today, myself and head of sport at the Herald and Times, Scott Mullen, will look back on the 1-0 defeat against Kilmarnock. We'll look ahead to next week's clash with Dundee in the Scottish Premiership, and we'll see what else takes our fancy over the next half an hour. Scott, welcome along.
Thanks, Andy. Pleasure to chat to you as always.
Well, we're a couple of men down today. Jay doesn't know where he is, and we don't know where Bust is, so me and Scott will try and carry it through for a short while anyway. The defeat yesterday to Kilmarnock, Scott, it's a disappointing result, but certainly not the worst performance we'll see over the course of the season. It gives Kilmarnock a lot of momentum, moves them into the top six, while we're now struggling a wee bit, 3 points behind. Kelly have also got 2 games in hand. I think the result is the most disappointing element of the afternoon, certainly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you were saying it's not the most disappointing performance of the season. I don't even think it's the most disappointing performance we've seen in the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks from Motherwell. I thought they were actually... you need to keep in consideration who you're playing against. You're playing against a team that are absolutely flying under Steve Clarke, beat Celtic a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Motherwell, I thought, were the better team throughout. First half was quite even, but I did think that Kilmarnock's goal came against the run of play a little bit. Before that, you had Kirk Broadfoot hitting the ball off the post, and you had Chris Cadams going down the kind of cutting in on the right hand side. And the second half was just a bombardment. I think Stephen Robinson said they put Motherwell put 30 crosses into the box. I think they had 13 corners, but you know that there just wasn't it just wasn't clicking up front. But apart from that, I thought Motherwell did quite well and competed well with a Kilmarnock midfield with Yusuf Malumbu in the middle of it, who I think has been brilliant since he came in November. But it just, you got the feeling that very early on it just wasn't going to be Motherwell's day. Kilmarnock managed the game quite well as they could, slowed it down a little bit. When they got their goal, it seemed as if, right, okay, let's just protect what we have. And it's not a criticism. They did it, and they did it very well. At no point did you really think, or certainly no point did I think in that second half, that Motherwell had any real great chance to get in. We saw it against Hamilton and Ross County and St Johnstone in the last few weeks, that Curtis Main and Nadir Chifji and various other guys have been getting clear-cut chances. There wasn't really any clear-cut chance yesterday at all, and that just kind of sums up maybe how the guys going forward had a bit of an off day from Motherwell, but also that Kilmarnock actually played and defended the numbers, but did actually defend quite well.
Yeah, it kind of struck me that the plan was from Steve Clarke to get their noses in front and then protect what they had, and they did that very well. I suppose a frustrating element for me was, you mentioned how many corners we had, the amount that landed on top of the goalkeeper. We weren't really able to provide a decent cross ball, and considering we've got guys like Elliot Freer, Craig Tanner, Chrissy Cadden, that's slightly disappointing that we didn't offer more of a threat from the channels.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, there was a few corners that didn't beat the first man. A few, as you said, were right on top of Jimmy McDonald. He did flap at a couple of them and punch, but there was certainly a few that he just caught, he plucked out the air. And you're right, it's not like them. Chris Cadden had on 20 minutes, when broke down the right-hand side, goodbye Jordan Jones, swung in a great ball, and that was the one that Broadfoot put off the post. But I think it was Craig Tanner at the back post who he was aiming for, but from memory, I think Curtis Main had drifted off and was a bit closer to him. I thought he maybe could have played him in. But that was actually, as much as it didn't find a Motherwell man, was actually a really good cross. Craig Tanner is very, very one-sided, but his delivery from his left foot can be brilliant, and he can deliver a whip ball from quite deep. You know, he doesn't always have to get to the byline, and some of his crushes yesterday were fine and were good and were in good areas. But you know, it was you did get the impression that a lot of yesterday the balls in the box were just more in hope than anything else, that somebody would be in the end of it. And when you've got guys like Curtis Main and Nadir Chifchi, you can sort of understand that, you know, that they are kind of two big physical lads that you can hit them with it. But you know, I wouldn't be overly critical of the team yesterday. You know, I thought they tried well. It was very, very cold, quite blustery. The pitch is it looks as if it's had a wee bit of a battering over the last month as well. I think there was a hellish amount of rain in Motherwell on Friday night as well. So that's maybe not helped. But, you know, I think they just need to put it down to experience, that it's one of these games where it did get away from them. But there's maybe been the odd game this season that Motherwell have taken the points where you thought, you're potentially lucky to have got that. So it may even itself out over the course of the season. But as I said to you before, Andy, you need to remember you're playing against a Kilmarnock team that did exactly the same thing to Celtic 2 weeks ago. Although I thought Kilmarnock were more in the game against Celtic than they were against Motherwell yesterday. They attacked a lot more, they took the game to Celtic, whereas you did get the feeling that second half there wasn't really much intent going forward from Kilmarnock. It was just trying to manage the game, and as I said, they did it quite well.
It's quite funny when you mention the pitch, isn't it? Because Alan Burrows had put up a list of reviews of the park, and I think it scored something like 4.9 out of 5 over the course of the season. Yeah. First time, I would say, that I've actually went to Fir Park in a couple of years and noticed that the park was looking a wee bit sketchy, but when you look back in the last 10 years and some of the conditions that park has been in, it was still easily a 3.5 out of 5, so it's not...
Yeah, it's still a bowling green compared to what it was, and Paul Matthew has done a brilliant job with it. I mean, the pitch was kind of excavated and done up again. They did a full refurb on it during the summer. Whenever I think a lot of people thought, "What are you doing that for?" It's fine, but they did a lot of work with it. The lamps were the big sun lamps were on it last night as I was leaving the ground already to try and boost the growth, because I think we're just coming out of the dormant season of the grass, or so I'm told. So in the next couple of weeks, you probably will see the park getting a bit better over the next few weeks. But I don't think it's anything. I think it's out with the control of the groundsman. If you think to back over the last month and a half, how much snow we've had, how much rainfall we've had as well, the conditions haven't been great. And I know that Fir Park has its own microclimate, which I think John Boyle claimed once. So, and it's quite high up. It's like the second highest ground in Scotland in terms of altitude, so you will get more rain, you will get more precipitation, more snow. So that probably has taken an effect. But as you said, the park's still flat. It's still got more grass on it than most. And you know, I think you will see the pitch getting a little bit better as the season progresses as well. But just not a great day yesterday at all. But I'm sure they'll bounce back from it next week.
Yeah, you mentioned that the Dundee game brings us into a run of fixtures that will be very difficult. You've got Aberdeen at Fir Park, you've got the both Old Firm visiting as well in March, the Scottish Cup game against Hearts. So the big games keep on coming thick and fast. I think that's quite a good thing. You heard Karim Keogh speaking after the game yesterday. Straight away after the defeat, you've got to put it behind you, don't you? You've got to look ahead to what comes next, and that's a fixture against the Dundee team who are quite literally battling for their lives just now in terms of surviving in the Scottish Premiership.
Yeah, I mean, they got a great win yesterday, a kind of dramatic one against Partick Thistle, but yeah, the next two games are you don't want to hype up and say season defining. Far from it. Motherwell have already got to a Scottish League Cup final and have done so well against so many teams and have turned things around from certainly where it was last year. But you know, the next couple of weeks will have an impact certainly on what happens for the rest of the season. You manage to beat Dundee next week, that pushes you even further away from the bottom of the table. Whenever Dundee are starting to pick up the odd point, at the point of recording this, we don't know what Hamilton are going to do today as well. But you know, you've got teams down the bottom that are beginning to pick up a little bit. I don't think we're going to get one team that's going to be cut adrift or two that were two are cut adrift, which sort of almost happened last season. I think there will be a group in there for a while. So if you can beat Dundee next week, that will keep the pressure on Kilmarnock for looking up at the top six. But most importantly, you can then, I mean, Robbo will never admit it at this stage, but you will then start to think, right, we're almost mathematically not safe, but that's not the priority anymore. It's now you can sort of turn and look above you rather than look down, because you are, Motherwell are on a crest of a wave with this. In 2018, there's only two defeats. So they are doing well. And then obviously after that, you've got the Hearts game, which when the draw was made, I thought was a brilliant draw. You know, don't get me wrong, Hearts are very resurgent, like Motherwell as well. You know, defensively they're very, very tight, but you know, they are beatable. You know, they are beatable, and especially at Fir Park, I think in front of a bit hopefully be a decent sized crowd. I think Motherwell could conceivably win that. I put it this way: if you can beat Aberdeen in a League Cup quarter final, you can beat Hearts in a Scottish Cup quarter final, because I still believe that Aberdeen team is far better than the Hearts team that Motherwell will face in a fortnight. But when you think, Andy, I mean, you and I are roughly the same age. I was too young to be at the Cup final in 91, so I mean, I've yet to actually see them win anything other than the Youth Cup final a couple of years ago. And I've kind of grown up on this fallacy that Motherwell were a cup team, because I started going a couple of years after 1991, and you still had the stories of it, and I think you were kind of missold at that point that you were going to be following some kind of heroic cup team. You know, you're like, God, is this what it's going to be like? And then, you know, from memory, I think my first taste of cup football was watching Airdrie beat us in a Lanarkshire Cup game, and then after that, I remember seeing Alloa put us out in penalties, which I think was in the League Cup as well. And you're like, no, this isn't quite what I signed up for. And since then, I think Motherwell have had three cup finals since 1991. Were heavily beaten in two of them, edged out, I'd say, the one back in November. But so, I mean, cup pedigree, even under Stuart McCall, wasn't there. You know, you think how often Motherwell finished third or second, going to Europe, Champions League qualifiers, all that kind of stuff. But their record in knockout competition was abysmal. So this season already has surpassed anything. To get to a cup final in November and already being a quarter final of the other one is a terrific achievement. And more than anything else, I was delighted that it was the Hearts game's a home draw. I know the gate gets split, but, you know, that gives the club a chance to get a lot more money in. It's on the telly, which will bring more money in as well, and that will help safeguard a lot of things over the next few years. So, you know, there's a lot of positives to take. Obviously, Motherwell fans would probably be hoping for Falkirk or Morton in the next round, but in my eyes, as long as you avoid Rangers and Celtic and maybe having to go to Pittodrie, go to Tynecastle or something. I think if the game is in Tynecastle, the perception of it would be a lot different. But the fact that it's at Fir Park, there's probably going to be more Motherwell fans there than Hearts fans. Hopefully, it should make for a good game. And if they can get to a semi final, then it would be an absolutely monumental achievement to get to a semi final and a final in the same season.
We discussed this last week. I think the cup runs have perhaps diluted the importance somewhat of the top six. That being said, the top six is still very much there for the taking, isn't it? You look at Hearts, only 6 points above us. Kilmarnock moved 3 points above us. But in a league where teams quite often cut each other's throats, it's not a gimme that Kilmarnock will go to Hackies and win, that they'll beat St Johnstone at home. They're not, by any means, 9 points ahead of us. They're going to really need to work if they want to build in that 3 points advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the top six. Celtic obviously will be there. Aberdeen will be there, Rangers will be there, Hibs in my opinion will be there. I think Hibs could be a dark horse to finish, potentially finish third, even second. You know, they have something that Aberdeen don't have. They manage to they grind results out against top six teams, which is something that repeatedly shoots Aberdeen in the foot, but especially when it comes to Rangers and Celtic. But you know, out with that, you've got Hearts, who I don't think are any great shakes. They're very solid, and Craig Levein has them hard to beat, which is what Craig Levein does. And you've got Kilmarnock, who are on a run just now. But at that point, it would be incredible if Kilmarnock could sustain what Steve Clarke has started from now until the end of the season and keep it going. If they do, then they deserve to be in the top six. They deserve to be a lot higher than fifth or sixth. They should be in the top four if they manage to do that. But you do imagine with provincial clubs, like we've seen it with Motherwell as well, Andy, that they can go kind of 8, 9, 10 games without a defeat, and then all of a sudden go off the edge of a cliff, as we saw on the back of the cup final. You know, the run that Kilmarnock are on just now is not too dissimilar to the run that Motherwell had going into the cup final, and look what happened. So yeah, you're right. As much as Kilmarnock are the form team at the moment and are quite rightly getting a lot of plaudits for the way that Steve Clarke has them set up and has them playing and the results that they're getting, it's not beyond comprehension that another team could sneak into the top six. I think that the Motherwell, I would say Motherwell are potentially the only team that could kind of dislodge one of them. I've seen a lot of St Johnstone this season, and they're not great at all. As we saw at Fir Park a couple of weeks ago, they're not brilliant. They've been heavily beaten on a few occasions. Dundee, I think, are too far away. Ross County are probably too far away. Hamilton, I don't think you're going to get in the top six. Thistle, maybe, but I don't see it. You may be able to correct me. I think Kilmarnock also have a couple of games in hand, which will help them.
And St Johnstone at home, that's the two.
Well, you would fancy them to take at least four from that six with the way they're playing at the moment. So that would be difficult. The target may actually be try and catch Hearts rather than Kilmarnock. I wouldn't be surprised if Kelly managed to overtake them. But, you know, a win against Dundee next week would go a long way. You know, I mean, remember a couple of years ago, Motherwell got into the top six, and the feeling was, well, good, at least we won't get relegated. And that was it was more of a relief, because you knew the league was that tight that it didn't make a difference. You just knew no matter what happened from then on in, you were safe. It wasn't about being the top six, it was just about making sure you didn't get relegated. Whereas this year, at no point have I had any fear about Motherwell going down. Even on the run, kind of post-cup final through to Christmas, I wasn't overly worried. The only time I was really probably concerned was after the Accies game on December 30th, and you knew Louis Moult was going. That was a wee bit of an uncertain period. But to be honest, I think Motherwell have it in them to get into the top six. It really is just a case of between Motherwell, Hearts and Kilmarnock, who can get a run of consistency. And at the moment, you've got to fancy Kilmarnock to be there. Hearts, they weren't great. I watched their game against Ross County yesterday. They weren't brilliant. You know, they're not a force, I would say, the same as Hibs are, the same as Aberdeen are, and at the moment the same as Kilmarnock are. I think they are potentially the ones to try and catch. And if you can beat them in the League Cup, if you beat them in the Scottish Cup in a couple of weeks, that sends out a message to them, and it sends out a message to everybody that they are beatable, and you can't overhaul them, because at the moment, you know, they've been doing well after Christmas. It's no surprise, actually. See, when you look at the teams that have kicked on after Christmas, they are the teams that all went away in January. If you look at Motherwell went away, Celtic went away, Rangers went away, Hearts went away, Hibs went away, Aberdeen went away. They've all been performing really, really well. And you look at, I think St Johnstone didn't go away, and they continue to struggle. A lot of people probably think, you know, Motherwell went to Tenerife, Rangers went to Aberdeen, Rangers went to America, Celtic and Aberdeen went to Dubai. You know, a lot of people think it's probably a jolly, but, you know, I think a little break goes a long way. And certainly Motherwell have seen you've seen the benefit of that as well. And it's given a Curtis Main and Nadir Chifji a chance to kind of bed in. I'm still quite optimistic for the remaining part of the season going into the split. It's going to be difficult, but I think Motherwell are capable of getting in the top six. But beating Dundee next week is of great importance, because you start, as I said, you start looking at Kilmarnock and two games in hand and thinking they've already got a head start, because the points aren't in the bag, but they probably will be over the next few weeks. So yeah, next week is so important, and obviously you get the Hearts game after that, which is just as important, if not even more so.
Just another quick one on the Hearts Cup game. Obviously moved to Sunday afternoon for television.
Yeah,
something as a supporter, I think we all find quite frustrating. It's, you really want a 3 o'clock on a Saturday to get the place as busy as possible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, television dictates a lot of what goes on in Scottish football. Nothing different here. 3 of the 4 games have been chosen for television. It's part and parcel of having a wee bit of cup success. And I use success in the loosest sense, I suppose, because what we really aspire to is a proper success and actually going on and lifting the trophy in May. The pricing then becomes a bit of a debate as well. £18 for this one, which is up in previous cup games, certainly.
Yeah.
Being on terrestrial television as well might hamper the crowd. Obviously, a Sunday's a bit of a different beast to a Saturday as well for some people.
Yeah.
Who might already have plans in place. Would you see that effect in the crowd? It's a bit of a difficult one for the club, because you've obviously got to reap mm-hmm. the rewards of reaching the quarterfinal financially, but at the same mm-hmm. time you've got to take care of the supporters who have already shelled out for season tickets. There's been a lot of games already since the winter break. People are still paying off Christmas. It's a very difficult balancing act for both Motherwell and Hearts, who have obviously had to get together and price this match.
Yeah, I think it will have a little bit of an impact on the crowd. I'm trying to think, when is kickoff? Is it 2 o'clock?
I think it's 2:15.
Yeah. So I mean, it's late enough in the day that you're still being people from Edinburgh are still going to be able to make it through in time. It's not as if it's one of these 12 o'clock kind of noon shots that they're going to have to try and get through. Because the trains at that time in the morning aren't great. I went through to Murrayfield last weekend, and there was only one train from Motherwell to Edinburgh at that time in the morning. It can be quite tricky. You know, the pricing, I think £18 is still less than what it would cost you. I'm not sure what the price in the East Stand now is, but certainly in the Phil O'Donnell Stand, I think it would cost you more than that to pay in a game on just on a one-off basis. The Cooper probably as well. So, I mean, the prices are lower. I'm not sure at the point of when they set the prices whether or not they knew it was going to be in the TV at that point. It is tricky. You know, you do need to look after the supporters, and I think having a kind of flat rate will help that. And it will bring people out, but the club need to look after the supporters, but they need to look after themselves and try and get as much revenue out as they can. And you do think if it's 18 quid, would dropping that to 15 quid mean that you're going to get an extra 1,000 people through the door or an extra 600 people through the door? I'm not convinced, and it is a little bit of a gamble. Whereas they are dropping the price for at least 3 of the stands, possibly 4 of them anyway, just not by as much as what's perhaps happened previously. It is a tricky one, but you know, I still think it will be a good crowd. I still think you will have at least, I'd say, 4,500 to 5,000 Motherwell fans there, plus whatever Hearts bring through. I know yesterday there was 4,100 Motherwell fans there yesterday, which is excellent. That seems to have been the kind of norm this season. I know midweek against St Johnstone it dropped down a little bit, but you know the crowds are coming back. I think the average home game this season is up something like 750, 800 people on last year, which goes a long, long way. I mean, the game yesterday, I think the attendance was around about 5,000. To me, the ground looked busier than that. I must admit, but it's difficult from the back of the main stand and the press box. It does generally look quite busy, but certainly the East looked quite full. The Cooper looked quite full. The main looked busy. Great travelling crowd from Kilmarnock as well, excellent. Has to be said. I think we had about 1,200. This is something an argument that I have with guys in the office when they talk about, you know, crowds going down, or you know, there's not as much attention for the game, or you hear punters saying, you know, Scottish football's dead and all this kind of nonsense. You know, it's not, you know, crowd, the Motherwell home crowd of this season is probably on a par with what the Motherwell home crowd was in the mid-90s, 95, 96, whenever I started going. Because the attendances around about then would be about 6,500, 7,000. I don't think there's that much of a difference. What I think has changed in Scottish football is that the away crowd has got smaller. I remember a game in the mid-90s, possibly in the kind of Harry Campman days at Motherwell, and looking to the south stand, and it was a night game, and Kilmarnock had both tiers open and had it about 60 to 70% full. And that was for a midweek game. You had a games against Hibs and Hearts and Aberdeen, where both tiers were open and were heavily busy, were really, really quite busy. Whereas you don't get that as much now. I think that's the difference. You're not getting clubs that are bringing huge supports. There was a game against Dundee in the first game of the season back in the noughties when Juan Sara and all these guys were playing, Claudio Caniggia, where Dundee had both tiers in the south stand, you know, and the crowd would have been about 7,000, which would mean that the Motherwell gate was about 4,000, 4,500. You know, it's good to see the crowds coming back, and the club are very proactive with their season tickets to give away kids tickets or make them or reduce them at prices or do things with communities and schools and what have you. They are very, very proactive and are thinking for the long term. So as much as I can understand some people would have expected the tickets to be a bit lower, I still think it's reasonable, and I still think if you're a Motherwell fan and you want to go along to watch your team try and get in a semi-final, I think you'll go, whether it's £15, £18 or £20 or whatever it is. And I still expect the crowd to be on 2 weeks today, it will be. I still expect there to be at least 4,500 Motherwell fans there, and it would be brilliant if they could get a result for it, because you then go into Hampden again and look at the crowd Motherwell took to Hampden. You know, those tickets weren't cheap either. If you wanted to be in the south stand at Hampden for the semi-final against Rangers, I think you were talking about 30, 35 quid. And look at the crowd Motherwell took there. So, no, I still think there will be a bumper home gate at Fir Park in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's important to mention as well that there's a £30 deal, which is an adult and two child's tickets, which is...
Yeah, that's great.
Which again, it's positive, and it pushes the younger generation towards the football. It doesn't mean as many parents are having to pick and choose what games they take their kids to. Motherwell are certainly trying to encourage the fans of tomorrow, if you will, along to Fir Park. And it has... Those that are involved deserve a huge amount of praise there, because the crowds are coming back. There has been times, and quite recently, where the crowds have dipped to an almost worrying level. And I think you're right with the away supporters. The Hibs and Hearts, I've noticed, particularly in recent times, their travelling support is vastly reduced to what they used to bring. Aberdeen to a certain extent as well, although the support they took for the League Cup game, the quarter final that we've discussed already, that was very, very healthy. And the figures aren't skewed by home games against Rangers and Celtic either. They're up year on year quite significantly in the run of the mill games, if you will. So yeah, it's certainly looking bright in that sense as well. So hopefully 2 weeks today there will be a bumper crowd, and I suppose people do see Scottish Cup as a day out. So I would imagine that the pubs will be busy. I hate the comparison of it's only an extra pint or anything else. I think people sometimes take their day out of the football as a package. So comparing it against other forms of entertainment doesn't really stack up for me. That is what it is in terms of, I think, the broader picture. £26 for Tynecastle a couple of weeks ago. Things like that really need to be looked at. But that's a debate for another day, I guess, Scott.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I think the Welsh, from memory, was it last season, the Welsh Society did a deal that was at the start of this season that if you went to, you could do a ticket for the game up at Perth, and you also get travel, and you got a tour around a distillery for like something like only £3 more than what a standard walk up to the gate price would be.
Yeah, that was
it needs thinking. It needs, that was a brilliant idea. And it needs thinking like that. I always think if you have a season ticket at one club, you should be entitled to half price entry at an away ground. What value that would give. The home team would also get a boost out of that, because if you're a Motherwell fan that just paid at the gate but went most weeks and went to most away games but didn't have a season ticket, that would maybe be enough for you to buy a season ticket and commit to it. And you know yourself, if you have a season ticket, you do feel, well, certainly I did whenever I first got one when I was a kid, you do feel more part of it. I think if you've got your own ticket, you've got your own seat, you do feel as if you quite literally now with the Welsh side, you're buying into it. I always think that we should be thinking a little bit more outside the box of when we try to look at tickets across the board. The stumbling block, of course, for that is Rangers and Celtic, who probably don't really give a monkey's how much of a crowd that goes to Ibrox, and I mean that with all due respect, the stadium, the away crowd or the away attendance at Ibrox and Parkhead will probably make for about 1-2% of the overall crowd. You know, it won't make that much of a difference, and they probably could sell those tickets anyway. And conversely, kind of other clubs out with Rangers and Celtic will think, well, if you give Rangers and Celtic season ticket holders reduced prices at Fir Park, the 4,000-5,000 crowd that you would have been getting anyway is still going to be the same amount, but you're going to get less money. But what you would be hoping is that if you look at teams like Hearts, Aberdeen, Hibs, Kilmarnock, Dundee, Partick Thistle, maybe even St Johnston, and to a lesser extent Ross County, that might, if you think that instead of paying 23, I'm not sure, apologies if I get this wrong, but I think the away ticket for perhaps say 22 quid, 23 quid, if you thought, well, you're only getting in for 12 quid, that would make a huge difference. You know, and you talk about a package. If you're somebody that lives in Edinburgh that needs to come through to Fir Park, your train's going to be about, what, 12 quid, your lunch is going to be maybe a tenner, but 20 quid for pints, then plus you're talking about £60-70 before you started.
And that's discounting taking along the kids and everything else. Yeah. You're talking a three-figure sum there.
Yeah, easily. I mean, I'm fortunate enough, my little boy is only 3.5, and as much as he goes to his football training at Fir Park on a Saturday morning, hasn't been, so I've not had to start paying for him to go yet, but that will hopefully come in the next few years. Yeah, it is expensive, and clubs have done so much, and Motherwell have been at the forefront of it. Partick Thistle as well. I don't think Partick Thistle charge for kids at all. I think kids can just walk up on their own without an adult and just walk in, which is tremendous. But they still don't get great crowds, you know. But they're trying. Clubs are trying to fill their own grounds without really thinking about that travelling support. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I. Whenever I started going to watch Motherwell, it was brilliant going to Fir Park and you loved it. But there was also going to away games was also a bit of an adventure.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's maybe something that has been overlooked in amongst all this. You know, clubs are focusing on getting their own fans through the door without thinking, not only trying to attract away fans to their own ground, but also thinking of the benefit it will have to them for their own fans to go to different grounds. Because, you know, I remember it was my mum that took me to the football, but I still remember kind of getting taken through to Edinburgh for the day, to go to Tynecastle, and you go for your lunch, and you go to the game, and you come back, or go to Easter Road, or go down to Kilmarnock and stuff. And it was as a kid who was like 8, 9, 10, you were going to these places you'd never been before, and you were going to these stadiums, and you bought into it more. Do you know what I mean? It broadened your horizon when it came to football, and that is something that I think a lot of kids don't do now, because what they'll do is they'll maybe go to Fir Park if they're a Motherwell fan, they'll go to Kilmarnock they'll go to Rugby Park if they're a Kilmarnock fan. Then whenever their team's away, they'll probably sit in the house and play FIFA, or they'll sit and watch Man City against West Brom in the telly. And almost, you know, that's where this culture comes from of, you know, well, I've got a Motherwell strip, but I've also got I've seen kids in my street who have got a Man City kit, a Barcelona kit, a Newcastle strip, and a PSG kit. Well, and they're a Motherwell fan as well. You see the Motherwell one every now and again. Whereas if you can try and get these kids in every week that are going home, away, home, away, home, away, that means that above all else, it's Motherwell, it's Kilmarnock, it's St Johnston, first and foremost. Whereas I do get the feeling now there are kids that growing up now where, yeah, they might be Motherwell fans and they go to Motherwell games, or they're maybe, you know, Partick Thistle fans, whatever, but, you know, when come the next day when Manchester City are playing Liverpool or playing, you know, whoever at Crystal Palace, the kids sitting in front of the telly with a full Man City kit on, with cheering on with the same passion as they would have been if they were at Fir Hill the previous day, which I don't feel comfortable with, and I don't like it. And I think a lot of that is that you need to just emphasise it and keep on chipping away at it. And a large part of that comes from following your team from a young age, at home and away. I mean, you know yourself, going away with Motherwell to like Nancy and Levante and you know, over to Greece and stuff. These are life, once in a lifetime things, once in a lifetime things that have happened more than once. But you know what I mean? They're kind of landmark moments that live with you forever. And there's so many away games that my life that I can think back to when I was a young boy. I mean, I remember being at Rugby Park whenever Tommy Coyne scored a hat trick with that Jester strip on. If memory is still low, Colin Meldrum from about 40 yards. I remember being 9 years old and being there and seeing it, and I can still visualise it. And that was such a massive landmark game in my my kind of footballing life, and that sticks with me. These are the ones that moments that kind of stick out and keep you coming back, rather than you sitting playing FIFA with your pals and getting told, oh, by the way, Motherwell won today, or by the way, your team lost, or whatever. So I think more needs to be done to try and entice fans, away fans, to games. But that is something that is going to have to be done at SPFL level as well. I think, you know, the organisation is going to have to speak to all these clubs individually and try and get something together. Motherwell have done very well with what they do in trying to get home fans through the door, and I know the Cooper Suite welcomes away supporters and all that. I get that, but I do think that for crowds to be boosted, you need to be trying to bring away fans through, especially when you look at Motherwell. You know, the clubs above, you've got Rangers, Celtic, who will come anyway, but Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs have much bigger supports than Motherwell do, and you might find that only 1,000 of them are coming to an away game, when you've got 16,000-17,000 at home game. If you can even get another 1,000 through, it would be so worth it, because it's money that you don't have. I'm sorry, I've gone on a bit of a rant, but I do think that's something that does need to be looked at over the next few months, maybe going into next season as well, and try to get a structure in place that, whereas, for example, if you've got a season ticket for one club, you get in half price to every away game, or you get 5 vouchers that you can redeem for 5 away games or something, just to try and encourage supporters to buy into Scottish football more than just once every 2 weeks.
I couldn't agree more. It's a series of fantastic points there.
It'll never catch on.
This year for me, I know it's just a fact of life that you've got to kind of pick and choose, and you've got to budget for what you can afford, but it is a bit of a painful thing as a supporter, being priced out of going to see the team you love, that you've got to turn around and say, I'm sorry pal, we can't go to this game. If you actually do apply logical pricing, it makes it that wee bit easier. And I think you're talking about the English football and the heads can be turned, particularly at a younger age. It doesn't help if you're actually having to turn round to the kids and say, I'm sorry, we can't go to this game because it's too expensive. It turns them to Sky. It turns them to armchair supporters. And I think, whether they know it or not, a lot of our clubs and those running our league are indirectly turning kids to computer games and to English teams by their pricing strategies, and that's a flaw for me.
You talked about it, Andy, as of a package. Do you know what I mean? You know that it's not just about going to a football game, and I think Scottish football, not every club, but a lot of clubs are guilty of that, of just thinking, well, we're a football club, what else do you want? You know, and I know there are traditionalists. I know Neil Cameron, who I work with, is like this. We've debated this. He's not into the razzmatazz. He quite likes going to the football, being cold, having a pie and a bovril, because that's what it's always been. It's traditional, and I can understand that. I can fully understand that. But for a younger generation, their eyes are now open more than what mine were in the mid-90s. You know, in the mid-90s, you had Scottish football, you had English football, and that was about it. Now there is a bigger world out there. Even here, you've got ice hockey, you've got basketball, you've got Glasgow Warriors, you've got so many alternatives as well. You need to maybe think about packaging it. I mean, I remember whenever I was in Nolsey, whenever Motherwell played there, and your match ticket, you get a free McDonald's meal, but if you took your match ticket and a McDonald's after it, and you think, right, okay, well, there's your food. You know, if you take that along, you'll get a burger, or you can maybe get a half-price pizza, or you can get something. I know that season tickets are very incentivised with Motherwell, and you get all these things. But as an away supporter, you don't get any of that. You get none of it. So if it's the away supporters are the ones that are having to fork out the most to get to the game. So it never sits well with me that they then have to pay more also to get in, when you offset that against kind of season ticket pricing or whatever, or they have to pay full whack. You know, if there was something that could be put in place that either if you had a season ticket for Motherwell and you wanted to go through Edinburgh, you get into Tynecastle or Easter Road half price, or if you've got a season ticket in Motherwell and you wanted to go through there, you're entitled to 50% off rail travel on a match day if you present your ticket, or something. You know, I think something needs to be done to look at that. But there's many things in Scottish football that need fixed quite imminently. Probably that's further down the list, but hopefully somebody with a sensible hat on can maybe look at that over the next few months, or even in the next year or so.
Yeah, just a final one in that. I was quite astounded. It took Ethan up to get a 5-game flexi ticket for the stand, and it was only £5. So you think, if we can afford to let our own supporters in, and I know our supporters are much more important to the club than visiting supporters, but if you're charging an 11-year-old a pound a game, do the same for the away supporters. It's surely no skin off our nose. It looks much better. It adds to the atmosphere. It's just a better experience. And that's basically as much as my allegiances and my loyalties are very much to my own club. I think we do have to kind of all be joining up in our thinking here and getting a bit more strategic and sensible with it. But it'll never catch on, as you say.
Yeah, well, you never know. I'd be curious to see the statistics for away crowds, to see what percentage of it is kids compared to home gates. I mean, from my experience, kind of growing up, and obviously my mum took me to games, but it wasn't to every away game. You only went to some of them. But even growing up through my kind of mid to late teens and my early 20s, going to games, a lot of the time away crowds are kind of grown men or grown women. There aren't a lot of kids go to away games from memory off the top of my head, because it's generally like I used to play for a football team, and the football team we went to the game, so you get a group of kind of 20 guys that are all kind of in their late teens, early 20s. You've got, you know, friends will just jump in the car and drive through or whatever. There isn't a lot. You don't often see a mum, a dad and about 5 kids at an away game. Really, if you think on it, you do not see it that often, and that's probably because you're paying full whack for everybody. You know, everything is incentivised to try and get even the casual fan through the door at a home game. But if an away game, if the dad's having to pay £25, the mum's having to pay £25, each kid is £10 to £15. I mean, plus your petrol, plus your food, whatever, you are talking well over £100. So that is, it's, I think more needs to be done to try and attract a bigger away crowd to go over the Premiership, but also a younger crowd to go, because you want people to start buying into it and looking forward to it. And then whenever they get to the age of kind of 16, 17 and can be trusted to go on a train or a supporters bus themselves, they'll go. Whereas I'm not entirely sure that happens just now, because at the moment, if a 16 or 17 year old wants to go to an away game, they're probably going to have to spend the best part of £50. And certainly when I was 16, 17, I didn't have that. You were relying on the blank of mum and dad to get you there. So I think more has to be done to try and encourage that along. But as we've already said, it's far too much common sense probably, but there's enough people, Motherwell being one of them, and I keep making reference to them, Partick Thistle, who have been very proactive and very good, and you just hope that if there is a bit of a shift with the SFA at the moment, which there is, and the SPFL are maybe looking how they do things, I think you've got the SPFL Trust as well, which are looking to do good things, as you're hoping that these things start to get noticed, and the voices from these kind of proactive, kind of forward thinking clubs like Motherwell, like Partick Thistle, start to get heard a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we're both in a wee bit of a short time frame here, so we'll finish it up as quickly as I can. Just for yourself personally, Scott, congratulations on another promotion. I think every time you come on here, you've climbed another step in the rung. But
yeah, I'm going to be Prime Minister next time you speak to me.
I'll need to go through a few channels to get you on the next time. But,
yeah, no, not at all.
We really appreciate, I'll speak on behalf of all three of us, because I don't know where the other two are, but we do appreciate you giving up your time to come on and talk all things Motherwell. It's greatly appreciated, and congratulations again.
No, not at all. Listen, Andy, I appreciate it. I'm happy to come on. Motherwell, it's one of these things, I make no bones about that. The fact that I'm a Motherwell fan, even when I was on Off the Ball with Tam Cowing last week, and Tam openly outs me as a Motherwell fan, I always think it sometimes breeds suspicion if you don't say what team you support. So, I'm happy to come on and speak to you anytime at all.
That's brilliant. And as you're now getting the opportunity to take in a few more games as a punter and kind of step out the press box, no.
Not yet. Maybe at one point. Whenever my wee boy Rory, he's only 3.5, so maybe when he's a bit older and I'm ready to go to the games, that might be the time where I can hang up my dictaphone. But no, at the moment I still miss it on a Saturday. I miss even going to Fir Park as a punter. I've done it twice this season, and I don't like it. I'm a nervous wreck, whereas if you're hiding behind the keyboard, it's a bit of a safety blanket. I'm still going. I was working at the game yesterday for the Herald, Sunday Herald and Evening Times. So, no, I'll still be there making typos and getting names wrong for a wee while yet. Possibly in a couple of years, whenever I have to start paying £25 to take my wee boy to an away game, I'll probably start having to pay into games round about then.
Well, all I can recommend is a healthy diet of summer football and a very well-charged iPad, if my experiences are anything to go by. But
that, yeah.
When that time comes. Well, we'll be back next Monday, but thank you for listening to the MSC podcast, and thank you again, Scott.
Cheers.
Saints will choose.